Okay, here we are, and back with us tonight is that amazing warrior of so many years, Ted Pike, who has tried harder than anyone I know to legitimately and seriously protect the First Amendment. He has done so by fighting, contesting, tooth and nail, every effort by the international Zionist elite to force hate laws on this country. And you know, if you've been listening, what hate laws have done to every single country they've been introduced to. They are a nightmare. They are a license to lock people away, to take their liberty and destroy their lives. So we're always grateful to Ted for that. And he's back tonight with several things to talk about. Hi, Ted. Welcome back.
Thank you, Jeff.
Go ahead.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we have about three items, which covered in my latest three articles at truthtellers.org, and they're also on your website. The three things I'd like to talk about, number one is the CISPA bill, that legislation which would give the big Internet providers the right to divulge all of your Internet private information with the federal government. Then I'd also like to talk about the incarceration now of 16 Amish Christians in federal prisons around the country as so-called hate criminals for the alleged hate crime of forcibly cutting the hair of some of their theological rivals.
Right.
And then I'd like to also talk about the conviction of the this terrorist in Washington, D.C., Floyd Corkins, who was a pro-homosexual activist, and he barged into the STLC. That's FRC, Family Research Council,
right.
Washington, and shot a guard claiming that he was protesting their anti-homosexual policies. And we'll talk about that, but specifically, I'm making a charge tonight in my latest e-alert, which you have posted at your website, and it's also at Truth Tellers. I'm making a charge that the SPLC, by tarring some 18 Christian conservative organizations as hate groups, vilifying them as the persecuting homosexuals, and then actually succeeding in persuading Corkins to follow this information from the SPLC website, and actually they directed him for a detailed map of how to get to FRC headquarters. I'm making allegations that this is a violation of federal law, particularly the hate crime provision of the Civil Rights Act, and that SPLC top officials are now hate criminals and should be prosecuted by the federal government. So maybe we can go back and just start with the status of the CISPA bill, which is very threatening, but we're seeing real signs of life and hope.
Okay.
Actually, what's happening is that paradoxically, the Republican leadership is responsible for one of the most serious threats to our privacy, especially the Internet privacy that has been introduced into Congress. We're used to the liberals and ADL and so on introducing these kinds of bills. But the Mike Rogers of the House, Representative Rogers, is doggedly trying to introduce legislation that will give top Internet providers, many of whom are, as I have documented, are very powerfully liberal and pro-Zionist, give them the right to privately spy on everything we have on record on the Internet. And if they see something which the government has informed them, information the government would like to have on us, then privately and without any fear of lawsuits, they can pass on that information to the federal government. The government will guarantee that they won't be sued or go to jail themselves. And this legislation is so threatening that even the liberals, even the American Civil Liberties Union, are howling that this is unprecedented. This is taking away the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution, which guarantees the privacy of our personal papers and belongings and so on from unreasonable search and seizure, except, of course, with a court-ordered warrant. And so what's happening is this legislation is so radical that even the liberals are saying no. Even Obama is threatening to veto it, and it passed again with an even greater margin a week or so in the House of Representatives. It's now gone to the Senate, but the scuttlebutt coming from a number of staffers and sources in the Senate committees is that they are not even wanting to receive this legislation. It's too radical.
Huh.
And so this is a very, very good sign.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am not one to pull off the dogs as we're going after this kind of a culprit, because I have seen before how disinformation can go out concerning very dangerous legislation, as it did from Pat Robertson's organization back in 2009, just before the hate bill was passed. He sent out a directive to everybody on the 700 Club and so on that the hate bill was defeated and so on. There's no need to call in Congress. He did this literally hours before it was finally passed by the Senate. It caused the whole right wing to put down their arms and say, we've won against the hate bill. It was disinformation. It was definitely a conspiracy to actually pass the hate bill. And, of course, Robertson is a very dubious character and undoubtedly a Mason. And so what we don't do is to take these rumors and the word of these staffers that CISPA is defeated. We should keep calling our members.
Oh, never relax, ever vigilant, always.
Absolutely. They should know. They should absolutely know that the people will not stand to give up their personal, as the Constitution described it, their personal papers and property that's now on the Internet over to the federal government in an unreasonable search and seizure of that of our most private information about our lives. And so people, if they want to call, come to truthtellers.org at the upper right, just three articles down. We have an article about CISPA. We also have the phone numbers, toll-free numbers to Congress, to your members of the Senate. We also have the names of all 100 members of the Senate there on our action page if you'd just like to do some calling and cover them all and let them know that we will not stand for this.
Good job. All right. I agree. As soon as these people, the enemy is so shrewd, as soon as they sense we're sitting back and relaxing a little, taking a breath, they're right on us, almost
yes.
Every time.
Absolutely. Eternal vigilance is the price of freedom, and now we have to exemplarize that more than ever. This brings us to the Amish case, and I point out in my article, which is the second one down on the list of truth tellers, it said, the title says, convicted Amish are not hate criminals. And I point out that the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center for a good 10 years, since 2009, when the federal hate crimes law was introduced by ADL, authored and introduced by ADL, I point out that they have dramatized two legislatures on the state level and testimony in Congress that we are in a grim battle against an epidemic of hate in America, which is symbolized mm-hmm. by a dead Matthew Shepard mm-hmm. hanging impaled on a barbed wire mm-hmm. fence in the desert because he was a homosexual. And they also did dramatize the truly horrific murder of African American James Byrd, dragged 3 miles behind a pickup truck and then dismembered by at least two white supremacists. And so wrapped legislators, I point on, were literally in the palm of the hand of these Jewish activist organizations as they were describing this acute national problem which could only be solved by giving the federal government complete powers to invade states' rights and law enforcement and basically take over when they felt the states were not acting as proactively as they wanted to. And so I contrast that stereotype of a quintessential right-wing hater, which ADL SPLC have projected to lawmakers, versus the facts concerning these 16 Amish who did nothing more in their opinion, then severely discipline dissident members of their ranks. And of course, we do not condone the assault that they made on a number of Amish dissidents under the control of Sam Mullett, the leader of this group of Amish. But nevertheless, even though they are indeed less than perfect Christians, they are not hate criminals in the sense for which the
favor of hazing, but they do this kind of stuff all the time. It's cutting people's hair off. Come on.
Yes.
I just see this spun into what you do, a nightmare it really is hateful what's being done to these people. So I think you got it backwards. Just a second, Ted. We have to pause. We'll come right back. Okay, and we're back with Reverend Ted Pike. Okay, Ted, go ahead. But to me, as I said, what they're doing to those men is, in fact, a hate crime. I look at it in reverse.
Absolutely. And I continue in this article pointing out that over the last several years, the government has had ample opportunity to use their new hate law to prosecute religious or political fanatics who committed a despicable act of violence against their ideological opponents, but they didn't do it. Why? And it's because these people were members of groups which are exempt from federal prosecution under the federal hate law. And at truthtellers.org, we have a most amazing video which has received many, many thousands of visits, in which Eric Holder, the Attorney General Eric Holder, is discussing or answering questions before the Senate Judiciary Committee, and he's spilling the beans. He is telling in the clearest language that there are special groups such as Jews, homosexuals, Muslims, and so on, that it's taken for granted under the federal hate crimes law that they are exempt from prosecution, even if they commit hate crimes. And as an example, I point out in 2011 in New York, a Hasidic Jew, that's an ultra-Orthodox Jew, Aaron Rothenberg, had been criticizing what he alleged was dictatorial, even terrorist control by the ultra-Orthodox Grand Rabbi, David Twersky.
Did he use that expression, terrorist control?
He was saying that they were throwing bricks through their walls and packing their houses and so on. And this is criticism that Aaron Rothenberg was making, very similar to what some of the Amish leveled against Sam Mullett, one of the indicted Christians, so-called Christians, who's received 15 years in prison. And Rothenberg's home was firebombed by a Jewish teenager, follower of Twersky, resulting in extensive burns and hospitalization to Rothenberg. And yet the government launched no federal investigation or hate crime charge against the Jewish firebomber or the Jewish leader suspected of inciting him. Attorney General Holder, again, made it clear that Jews will be exempt even when they are hate criminals under the federal Matthew Shepard law. And so the arsonist, Michelle Spitzer, the teenager, was sentenced to 7 years in prison according to civil law. That's the civil law of New York, but this is a much shorter sentence than the triple penalties which are mandated under the hate crime.
This was a criminal act, but they applied civil law to it.
That's right. Yeah, this was a classic hate crime, certainly as much of a hate crime as the Amish, except that the consequences were much greater. The Amish did not physically harm their opponents. They humiliated them.
Correct.
That's true. They chastised them, but they did not physically harm them. This teenager, perhaps under the leadership and guidance of this twisted rabbi, resulted in extensive burns, a year or so hospitalization for Rothenberg, and yet the federal government backed off, according to the criteria given by the Attorney General, that Jews will be not prosecuted under the federal hate law, even when they're hate criminals. And then I give another example. In the Fort Hood shooter, that was 2009, a Muslim army psychiatrist went ballistic in anger at U.S. policy in the Middle East, and he shot and killed 13 service personnel, wounding 30.
Right.
And again, he has not been charged with a hate crime to this day. And you can come to Truth Tellers. You can actually link, if you read these articles, we'll link over to the Holder video. You can hear Holder saying, basically, that the Fort Hood shooter, Muslim psychiatrist, will never be charged with a hate crime. And so this shows basically a very important fact about the federal hate crimes law, as well as state hate crimes laws or hate crimes laws everywhere in the Western world. And that is that there is no equal justice. There is no equal punishment. There is no equal protection under any kind of ADL hate law. And it's not actually written in hate laws that these groups will receive exemption from prosecution when they are hate criminals. Actually, what is going on is in the preamble, the description of all these hate laws, the impression is given that there's even-handed protection and justice across the board for race, religion, sexual orientation, etc. The truth of the matter is that the prosecutors in Canada, Australia, Europe, and in Washington, D.C., who enforce the federal hate law, know very well from directives, private directives from ADL, that privileged groups, particularly those groups that the ADL claims have been victims of historic Christian persecution, blacks, Latinos, mm-hmm. women even, will not be prosecuted. And if you look at the history of prosecutions of hate crimes, Gestapo's clear back to Sweden in the 80s and 70s and so on, the earliest clear up to the very last, you'll find a virtually unbroken record of not going after members of specially protected groups.
Yeah. The facts are facts. They're right there.
Yeah. And what is amazing, and some commentators have commented, is that the media is not giving big publicity to the Amish case or the SDL.
Oh, you never see a word about it. It's shut down. The lid's down on it.
Yeah, what they want to do is they want to get these precedents, these legal precedents established in which Christians are indicted. And what happens is the media doesn't pick up on this, and even members of the anti-Zionist right, I'm sad to say, are showing relatively little interest in these unprecedented hate crimes prosecutions which are going on before our eyes right now.
Right.
But in fact, I'm calling for a constitutional, not perhaps a convention, but an effort by Christian conservative think mm-hmm. tanks and legal advocacy organizations right now to launch an offensive, popularized, talk it up, that we need to abolish the federal hate crimes law. And that's not happening. Again, the religious conservative right is laying back and doing nothing. There's an increasing feeling of fatalism and apathy in this country. But, people are tired, but let me tell you, people are going to get much, much tireder if the jackboot of hate crimes prosecution really bites down on them.
I agree.
As done in Canada.
100%, I agree. All right, stand by, Ted. We'll come right back. Okay, and we're back with Ted Pipe. Again, the idea of what hate laws have done in Canada, and actually much worse in Europe. I don't know how many people are in jail right now for simply speaking their mind, their God-given right to speak their views. And remember, when you have hate laws, people become fearful to speak. And what leads right after that? They come to a point where they're fearful to think. It's mind control, ultimately.
Yes. Absolutely. In my third article this week, which is entitled SPLC, that's the Southern Poverty Law Center, should be tried for hate crime, I point out that Representative Louis Gohmert, who was quite an opponent of the federal hate bill, and he's now a present member of the U.S. House Judiciary Committee, frequently warned against the dangers posed to free speech by the federal hate crimes law, but he particularly emphasized the dangers of the so-called hate crimes provision contained in Title 18, Section 2A of the Civil Rights Act. And this section, to which the entire present hate law is a series of amendments, says that if someone publicly expresses ideas that stimulate another to commit a hate crime, the original speaker shall be tried as well as the active offender receiving the same punishment. Here's the actual text of Section 2A. It says, quote, whoever commits an offense against the United States or aids, abets, counsels, commands, induces, or procures its commission is punishable as a principal. This means that if a preacher or radio host or whatever makes strong words against a particular group, Jews, homosexuals, whatever, or even Christians, the liberal against Christians, and some fanatic is deeply impressed by how evil those people are and goes out and attacks them, then according to U.S. law under the Civil Rights Act, that person who makes those recommendations and incites to commit a hate crime shall actually stand in the same position defending themselves in a court of law and be served the same sentence, which would include triple penalties for hate crimes under the federal law. Now, last week, the FRC shooter, pro-homosexual activist Floyd Lee Corkins, was found guilty under Washington, D.C.'s Anti-Terrorism Act of 2002 for the crime of domestic terrorism, which is a first in U.S. history. Corkins was guilty of an attack on the offices, as I've said, of the Anti-Homosexual Family Research Council, and expressed bias motivation or disapproval as he shot a guard there. Now, in announcing Corkins' conviction, 5 years in prison, the U.S. Attorney's Office also released a video which Corkins frankly states he was incited to such violence by inflammatory literature by the Southern Poverty Law Center against family research. The Southern Poverty Law described the Christian conservative activist organization as a hate group, amplifying their opposition to homosexuality. SPLC even provided online to FRC headquarters, which the FBI found in Corkins' possession. The ADL is a textbook example of a hate crime. Literally, picture-perfect fulfillment of a hate crime as defined as by the Civil Rights Act, Title 18, Section 2A.
Right.
And so...
You're breaking up a little bit on the phone there. Not badly, but Ted, hang up, and Brett will call you right back. Truthtellers.org is the website, and Ted's writings are extraordinary. They're voluminous. They go back many years, and he's the guy, again, who has led the fight against international Zionism and their hate law agenda. And wherever it has been in placed, personal disaster and worse has occurred. I believe Ernst Zundel's lawyer in Germany is either in prison or still in trial for simply trying to defend her client. You probably remember the story. Okay, hold on, we'll be right back. Okay, back with Ted Pike. All right, Ted, I have a question or two, but go ahead with your agenda, then we'll get to mine.
Maybe I could just finish with a little more about this Washington, D.C. domestic terrorism charge that was laid down this week.
Right.
Back in August, about August 20th, when the FRC offices were invaded and shot up by Corkins. Even the ADL immediately recommended, since this was a classic hate crime, bias motivation in, resulting in violence, recommended that it be considered a federal hate crime under the Matthew Shepard Act. And yet, the problem was there was every indication that Corkins was a homosexual. And homosexuals are a protected group under the federal hate law. You just don't go indicting homosexuals and getting a lot of bad publicity against the gay rights movement and so on, because the ADL and the federal hate law are dedicated to protecting them as a historically oppressed members of society. And so what happened was I was waiting very, very intently and watching the news closely for about a week, and there was no indictment coming down. There's a preliminary indictment by Washington, D.C., legal authorities, but there was no evidence of federal indictment and charges under the Matthew Shepard Act.
Hmm.
And what happened was that the federal government, in my opinion, clearly fearing that Corkins was a homosexual, certainly a passionate homosexual, pro-homosexual activist, they decided to pull back and let the D.C., the 2002 anti-terrorist law of Washington, D.C., take the jurisdiction over this clearly this hate crime. And the reasons, there's really some maneuvering behind here, which is very transparent. You see, what they don't want to do is to portray and lay down a legal precedent, a high-profile legal precedent, that homosexuals are guilty of hate crimes against Christian conservatives, violent hate crimes. Oh, no, they don't want that to go in the law books. They don't want that kind of precedent. They want exactly the opposite. And I point out in my article that I'll just read a paragraph here. Over the past decades, our nation has endured acts of terrible violence in public places by hate-filled shooters and terrorist fanatics. Every time this happens, ADL, SPLC can be counted on to do their best to link such atrocities to influence from the Christian conservative right.
Mm-hmm.
They are very aware, of course, that Title 18, Section 2A of the Civil Rights Law is the law of the land. And if they can prove an extreme or harsh words from a right-wing source have definitively influenced commission of a hate crime or acts of terrorist violence, they will not hesitate to demand federal hate law prosecution. They will require that leaders of the offending right-wing organization or Christian organization stand trial as well as the hate criminal they influenced and bear his punishment also. Without a doubt, they will also demand federal legislation marginalizing the religious right even further as a source of potential hate criminals and domestic terrorists. Yet when ADL's sister Jewish so-called civil liberties attack group, SPLC, commits the very violation of the hate crimes provision that ADL dreams of the American right committing, ADL is silent.
Hmm.
Looking the other way, they hope no one will notice the severity of SPLC's violation of federal law. But I say that I and others have noticed, and we demand that Attorney General Eric Holder take action to indict SPLC for the hate crime of inciting, aiding, and abetting the hate crime of domestic terrorism. And so in the as this article ends, I have a couple of brief talking points that we can send. You can either call to the Justice Department. We have the phone number there. We also have their email address saying we protest the exaggerated and needlessly punitive punishments against 16 Amish Christians for the alleged hate crime of forcibly cutting their theological rival's hair. And number two, we demand that a federal investigation and proceedings against the Southern Poverty Law Center be launched immediately. SDLC committed a hate crime by inciting Floyd Lee Corkins against Family Research Council, describing FRC as a hate group. This helped incline Corkins to commit domestic terrorism against FRC and guard Leo Johnson. And I should mention that I have sent this out, this latest article to 50 Christian conservative leadership organizations, including Family Research Council. And I believe that this is one time the American right, even though differing deeply on the subject of Israel, must stand together and agree SPLC has egregiously violated federal law and should be prosecuted under the same hate crimes law it has so passionately supported.
Well, you've summed that up perfectly.
Yeah, we need to bang the drums and move toward some kind of an aggressive attempt to roll back and declare the hate law to be unconstitutional. And the issue is extremely simple. It is a law which does not give equal justice or protection. This is contrary to the whole idea of equality for all in America.
Well, well said. Very well said, Ted.
Thank you, Jay.
Yeah. All right. These are enormously important moral issues on a very deep level in this country. Now, I had a question about the Christian right. What is the current status of the Christian right in this country? We've talked about this for years. Are they still listening to their leadership? Or are they making efforts to break loose and go into more constructive directions?
Well, I should say on the bright side that we at truthtellers.org, of course, have dedicated ourselves as evangelical Christians to bring truth and light to our evangelical, even pro-Zionist brethren. And we have Bible studies, theologically oriented Bible studies, in which we do provide an alternative to the local church, the local pro-Zionist churches in America and throughout the world, in which we give evangelical fundamental Christian doctrine and theology, but we also are very, very truthful about the realities of Jewish supremacism, injustices in Palestine, and so on. And we have about 10,000 visits a month, largely from evangelicals, but quite a few Catholics, too, who appreciate this alternative religious approach to not only religion, but to the world scene and even the Middle East and so on. But of course, in contrast to those 10,000 visits, we have, 40, 50 million evangelicals who basically mindlessly follow their leaders and support Israel unconditionally.
Mindlessly. Mindlessly. They do not think. They do not question.
Yeah, and ignoring massive truths of Scripture, demanding conditional terms of obedience before the Jews can ever occupy Palestine as a nation, ignoring Jesus' warnings against the Pharisees and the Talmudic system that they began 2,000 years ago. So it's a hard road, and I've been working on this since the publication of my book, Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma, in 1984. That's almost 30 years ago, and unfortunately, I cannot see that I have profoundly enlightened the evangelicals. They have a barricade mentality. They say, I don't have to listen to anything you say. It's basically a cult. They're programmed people, and they do not deprogram very easily.
No, they don't. And if they step out of line and start thinking independently, I'm sure the ostracism and pressure from their peers is extraordinary. They have ears everywhere. It's apparently a pretty paranoid group, and they don't want people stepping out of line, from what I understand.
Well, it's basically they're hardening into a very anti-intellectual and even an anti-biblical approach, and they have bid Godspeed to evil so consistently now for almost a century that the Scripture says that he that bids Godspeed to evil men will become a partaker of their evil deeds, and I'm afraid that there is a profoundly degrading moral influence of Zionist complicity that is happening to the evangelicals. They are drones. They are cannon fodder for right. these tremendously evil forces.
And there's 30, 35 million of them. That's a scary bunch.
More than that, I would think. The leaders know about me, and people like WorldNet Daily and Joe Farah, they know all about me, but they shut their ears to the truth that I try to bring them.
All true. And the truth is what you do. And people don't like to hear the truth. Ted, keep it up. Great to talk to you again, as always. We'll be here if I can do anything to help in the future. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
All righty. Good night.
Good night.
Reverend Ted Pike.